We got a special guest on, and I want to get him on right away because I appreciate it. I know he's got a lot of other things to do, but I'm just so pleased this morning to have the CEO of Primerica, Mr. John Addison, on the call with us. And, you know, I met John a few years ago, and I just liked him immediately, and I think that most people do like John immediately because he had that type of personality. But more importantly, when I met him and we just had a few minutes to talk, I realized that we talked the same language. We were saying the same thing. We believed in the same basic concepts concerning marketing, whether that would be this is how you market a life insurance product or how you market a prepaid legal service product. The basics are still the same, and that we believed in the same basic concepts. And I've had an opportunity to meet a lot of people over the years, a lot of good marketing people, a lot of people that have some really good ideas. But, you know, when you meet somebody that really has good ideas and then have real leadership skills, that number gets down to be pretty small of people that you run into. And I can tell you that John Addison is certainly right up there at the top of that short list of somebody that has great ideas, but also at the same time has the ability to execute those, to get them carried out, and the ability to get people to follow him because they realize that John knows what he's talking about, and that's what you want to do. You want to follow somebody that know what you're talking about. The other thing that about John that more and more I appreciate, they get a little older, just integrity. I mean, people doing what they say they will do, telling you something and then going forward and doing that. And I found that John is that type of person. And again, that's reading he's a good leader. People know that if he tells them that something is going to happen, that it's going to happen just that way. And of course, if you look at the results that John's had as the CEO in the last few years of Primerica, that'll speak for itself. So, John, if you're with us this morning, whatever you'd like to talk on. I hope it's going to be on recruiting, but fire away.
I appreciate it, Harlan. Thank you for those kind words there, and it's an honor to be on the call with all of your great leaders that you've got in your organization. And as I've told you many times, anything I can do to help you out and help your team out, the feelings that you described about you and I are very much mutual. And again, anything I can ever do to help you guys, I'll be glad to do. Yeah, Harlan, what I wanted to do and talk a little bit about, because I hear all the excitement from your people about the new identity theft product, and I personally believe that is going to be a home run for you, because you know it's always in a recruiting process and in a building process, you know, it's always good if what you're talking about is something that's on the top of people's mind and that they've got an awareness of and that they can see and say, you know, that is an issue for me, because so much of recruiting is about, number one, how you feel about what you're talking about. I mean, if you really believe that you're talking about something that's important, you're going to talk to more people. And recruiting is a numbers business. I mean, you cannot go out, you know, we've gone through a lot of, within Primerica, we've gone through a lot of eras here where, you know, almost not quite as old as prepaid legal is, but we were founded in 1977, had huge recruiting growth in the 1980s. The company was sold around 1990. We went through quite a few years where our recruiting was not what it should be. We did real well in product sales. We did real well in the earnings of the company. We grew in a lot of different ways, but we didn't grow our recruiting. And when Rick Williams and I took over the company as co-CEOs in January of 2000, we said our goal is to take the best of the things we've done. I mean, one of the things that I believe as a leader that you've always got to do, you never make yourself look better by criticizing other people. I've always been a believer in, look, if there's something that needs to be done different, I need to do it different, not sit and say everybody that's been doing something else is stupid. I need to go out and take responsibility for moving my team and growing. And we said we want to take the best of what's been done in the past, and we want to go get serious about growing our recruiting. And in 1999, we recruited 95,000 people into Primerica. That was our total recruits. Just so you guys understand, our business is pretty daggone similar to entry-wise how yours is. It costs $199. What that $199 goes to do is to pay for your insurance license. And when someone comes into our business, they have to get in a licensing process and go out and pass a test and get licensed. We recruited 95,000 people that paid $199 and said, yes, I want to be a part of this in the year 1999. Last year, we recruited 208,000. The first year in 2001, we jumped up from 95,000 to 147,000. And we didn't do that because Rick and I are the smartest people in the world or any of that kind of stuff. We did that, and what I want to focus on with you for a few minutes is what I believe are kind of the leadership principles that you got to put in place to move your team. I honestly believe, you know, the business we're in, which is the people business, the people development business, you're in the team building business. And if you're going to build a team, see, you got to build a team if you want to live a dream, and you got to build a big team if you want to live a big dream. And that's just really what it gets down to. Now, you're in the team building business. Harlan, them out there in Oklahoma, I'm here in, you know, state of Georgia. Everybody in Primerica knows that I'm a huge University of Georgia fan, went to the University of Georgia. I'm a big fan. I love our new coach, Mark Rick, an incredible person that we've got there. But if you look at Oklahoma when Bob Stoops took over, or you look at Georgia now, you know, Georgia's, you know, we've won like 16 of the last 17 games we played and went through a decade in the 90s where we had a lot of potential, but we never quite got to it. If you look and you're going to build a great college football team, you better be first and foremost a great recruiter. You better be able to go out and sell the vision of the program that you're building, the direction of the program you're building, and you better be able to go out and get, you can be the smartest coach in the world. You can know more about running an offense than anybody in the world. You can have all these brilliant ideas, but if you're out there with a bunch of kids that run a 5-flat 40 and you're playing teams that run a 4-3 40, you're going to get your butt kicked. I mean, you're going to get your tail kicked week after week after week. You got to have the players on the field to win the game. You got to be, if you want to build something great, you got to have a recruiting focus, a recruiting mindset. It's got to be the number one focus for your team. The business you're building, and I mean prepaid legal, I know enough about it to know that I know this from a standpoint of understanding Primerica, is that our business is about new people bringing new people. And if you get to a point where you're having meetings, and every meeting you have is with the same old people, with the same old problems, and the same old issues, and the same old everything, you ain't growing. I mean, you know, I said, you know, we had a regional vice president meeting, and I guess the closest I could equate an RVP at Primerica, it's not like an RVP at prepaid. An RVP for us is probably like an executive director in your system. And when I went out and did our first series of RVP meetings after Rick and I took over, and I mean, this is no slam. I mean, hey, look, I mean, we need all people, all age groups, everything in our business, but there were a couple of meetings we did where, I mean, you know, I thought we needed ambulances in the back because the crowd was so old, okay? I mean, you know, when people, you know, instead of rolling strollers with babies into the meeting, they're rolling in oxygen tanks. That's not the sign of a growing organization. And you better, I mean, look, we want people that stick forever. But if all you've got are people that have been around since the earth cooled and remember Harlan had the first meeting way back when, all that kind of crap, all you're going to have is a bunch of people who sit, soak, and get sour. And you got to have a surge in new people. And so I believe there are a handful of keys. I just want to hit on a handful of them right now with you that I would just put in your mind that you need to do, and these are things that work for us in creating a recruiting explosion. Number one, I think you need to focus on building digit mindset with your team. You know, in basketball, you know, people start to get recognition when they, you know, when they double digit score, when they're double digit rebounds, double digit assists, double digit scoring. One of the things we talk about a lot with our RVPs for their base shots is, man, you know, if you're not having a minimum of 10 recruits a month, you're not growing. I mean, you need to have a double digit mindset. You need to go out and every month with your team or your team of directs that you've got have a mindset that we're going to develop new recruits. It's got to be your number one goal is to make sure that you've got your recruiting growing. Understand, in my opinion, recruiting And building your team is the only true measure of growth. Don't con yourself into a position that, well, recruiting's down, but sales are looking good, this is looking good, that's looking good, or whatever, because ultimately, at the end of the day, if you're not growing your recruiting and building your team, you're not growing. You may have a short-term surge in income, you may have good things happen, but don't ever sit back. And so let me tell you how I look at it. I mean, and this is how I look at it month to month to month with our company, is did August this year, did we grow recruiting over August last year? September this year, did we grow it over September last year? I believe that great careers start with great years. Great years start with great months. Great months start with great weeks. Great weeks start with great days, and great days start with great thinking. And the thinking that you got to have is you got to have the thinking that, man, I'm going to get up today, and I'm going to cause something to happen, and that what I'm going to cause happen is a surge in my team recruiting. You better recognize recruiting. You better focus on recruiting. You better talk about recruiting. In our business, look, I know at Primerica, if I get unfocused at all on recruiting, recruiting goes down. See, understand, we market a bunch of different products. We got term life insurance. We got mutual funds. We got variable annuities. We sell prepaid legal. We sell long-term care. We sell, you know, a long-term care product through GE, which is a very, very good product. And people, you know, the older, the aging America needs long-term care. We sell a lot of different things, and I can get off and start talking about, so I mean, you know, identity theft, if it leads to recruiting, is awesome, but if all identity theft leads to is a bunch of talking about identity theft, you're not going to grow. You got to understand, it is easy. People love to talk product. People love to get trained on product. People will go to seminars all day long. We were at a one point of our career, we had more training seminars going than you could possibly imagine. We would fill up rooms full of the most non-productive people you ever thought. We'd have, I mean, we could have built a monument to non-productivity. I mean, because people will go to a meeting if they think there's training involved. They'll always think they hadn't been trained enough. They'll always think they don't know enough. They'll always think there's one other thing they need to learn, and then they're going to go talk to somebody about something. Understand, it's everything. If you get unfocused on recruiting, everything will begin to deteriorate, and then you'll wake up one day and you'll go, how did this happen? I mean, one of the things you got to understand is recruiting and our business is totally momentum. Great momentum makes average people look awesome, but the lack of momentum actually makes great people look terrible. You got to understand, momentum is hard to get. I mean, it's hard to get. You all know it. I mean, when you get behind the eight ball and it starts rolling downhill on you, and it looks like every time you turn a corner, something else turns to crap on you and just all that kind of stuff, and you don't have any momentum, it is a booger to get it going. It's tough. But when you get momentum going your way, all of a sudden you just think, man, I mean, ain't this something? Look how great it is. You better always understand that what leads to your momentum is a surge in recruiting. So you may say, well, John, you know, thank you for all this. You just made me more depressed because I ain't got no recruiting. And thank you for totally depressing me. But I'm here to tell you, see, you wherever you are right now, you can double your recruiting in the next 30 to 60 days by getting focused on it right. So let me just give you a handful of things that I know that we've done that work. Understand that one of the things that we did, I think, a very good job of is we leverage our contest with recruiting. You can't set, right now, I've got a contest running. Our contest that's running is one level of the trip is going to be to Las Vegas, to the MGM Grand. The second level of the trip is going to be to the JW Marriott Resort in Cancun. And the third level of the trip is going to be to the Princeville Hotel on Kauai in Hawaii. Okay, so pretty daggone good contest. We're going to take about 2,000 couples. And what the way I run the contest is everything is on builder's premium. So when you look at it, what that means is that is your life insurance premium times the number of recruits you got. So I have at the end of every contest people that go, I sold twice the amount of insurance, and this old guy that over here that's just slinging recruits on the ball to see what sticks is going to be in Hawaii, and I'm going to be home shoveling snow in Iowa. That ain't fair, John. That's wrong, John. That's terrible, John. And one of the things and let me tell you what, sometimes they're right. Quite honestly, when you look at it, this person has better quality of business, all those kind of things, and you step back and you can go, well, logically, John, how could you take this person here to Hawaii and have this good person that sold a bunch of insurance and has got good persistency and all that, and you're leaving them in Des Moines, Iowa with a snowblower, and you taking this person over to Hawaii? The thing I understand is if I don't oversteer the car to recruiting, you know, it's like I used to have a car in college. I had a 1973 Red Maverick that had the worst front end. You couldn't get it in alignment. And if you wanted it to go down the middle of the road, you better have it pretty hard steered to the left. Because if you tried to steer, you were going to go in the ditch to the right. And our business is a lot like that. You have to oversteer to recruiting because people will naturally prefer to talk product, and it's hard to close somebody to recruit them, but it's much easier to close them on the product. It is in our business. It's a lot easier to talk about a mutual fund than it is to talk about joining a business opportunity. And so I know I got to oversteer the car to recruiting. That means sometimes people are going to win things that maybe somebody else ought to or whatever. The world ain't perfect. But I know that if I ever let the gas off on the recruiting pedal, man, you're not going to get anywhere you need to get to. So my advice to a lot of you, one of the things I'm running like right now, I'm in the middle of Shake It Up September, okay? We got all kind of stuff going on in the contest. And see, what I do now, I got like the builder's premium, recruits times premium determines where you rank in the contest. Well, in Shake It Up September, if you go out and you do 3 personal recruits in September, you get triple recruit credit. That means you get to multiply all the recruits you've had up to date in the contest by 3 and then multiply them by your premium. So somebody might think right now, well, John, I'm on my way to Hawaii. I mean, I'm there. Look where I rank now. Well, no, you're not, okay? Because in September, I looked, and we had an awesome August. Just give you the real story. Our company had an awesome August. We did unbelievable in life sales. It was up like 20%. Mutual fund sales coming back strong. We did like $800 million in loans, our all-time record month, up 57% from a year ago. But our recruiting was down a little bit from a year ago. So John steps back and don't go, wow, August was unbelievable. Citigroup loves our earnings. Production was wonderful and all that. I look at it and say, I better get this thing, the pedal stomped down on recruiting. And so in August, you go do 3 personal recruits, you get you get triple recruit credit in the contest. But even more, you go do 1 personal recruit, just show up and say, I can do 1, I ain't done, okay? They might be shoveling dirt on me and done counted me out, and I'm over here, swirling around the toilet bowl about to go down. If you do 1 recruit, you're getting a shirt, y'all got the ring, I've got on the back of it, future $100,000 earner with a picture on the ring, and we'll ship more t-shirts than the world has ever printed out to our folks and stuff. You better always be looking and saying, what am I doing to create recruiting momentum? Understand, I truly believe this. You better, as a leader, you got to create the environment. And then what you better do is you better manage momentum. Manage the recruiting momentum. Be honest with yourself. Look at it and say, is it going the right way? I mean, you know, you guys, I heard y'all on the call beforehand, all that stuff. And one of the things about your company I love, like I love about our company, is people are positive. People are always looking for the positive, and that's what you better be doing, okay? But you also better be realistic enough to step back and say, okay, are we turning this into what it needs to turn into? Are we recruiting enough people? There are tons of people out there that need your opportunity and need what you do. And are we talking to enough people? Are we focused on the right things? The other thing I believe as a leader you got to do is if you want to get recruiting to surge, you got to have a surge in personal activity. Understand, nothing gets your team moving like you developing new directs, like you developing new recruits, new personal recruits, not just getting on a call and going, y'all sick them, go get them, let's go get after it. But when you're out there creating a personal surge, understand wherever you are in your business, you're only one recruit away from the next explosion. You're only one recruit away from a Dave Savola or whoever. You're one recruit away from that next big wave of growth in your business. And your personal activity and your personal focus and your personal work is what's going to move your team. I go all over our company and travel around, and wherever I see a surge in our business, it's a leader surging. It's not a leader getting up doing the same old meetings in front of the same old people and stuff. I mean, I promise you there's places I can go in our company, fly in to do a meeting, and it's like old home week. I mean, you show up, and oh, yeah, and we can all tell stories about what Art did way back when in the 80s, and remember when we had this meeting, remember when we did that. And by the way, I love all that because, hey, I've been around here forever, and, you know, I like to tell old stories with people as much as anybody. But I'd rather go out and tell new stories. I'd rather go out and write history versus read history. And when you start getting to a place where what you see is just, it's the same old people, and you can go, you ask them, wherever you're at a meeting, okay, one of the things I do, any meeting I do in Primerica's, I stand in front of the room and I say, how many of you, is this your first big meeting with Primerica, okay? And if it ain't over half the room, we're not growing in that location. If it's the same old people coming back to hear the same old stories one more time, then you're not growing. And I believe with everything in me, the single biggest key I would give to you is to step back. I mean, one of the lessons I learned is what you recognize and what you focus on grows. If what you're focused on are the problems will multiply. If what you're focused on is what don't work, guess what? That'll all multiply. But if you're focused on developing and building new people, that's what's going to grow on your team. Understand, if you ever hear anyone say, well, our recruiting's down, but our quality is really up. I'm telling you, Harlan, the quality of the people we're getting to the meeting, it dwarfs anything of the past. Now, we're not getting as many, but the quality is a lot better. That is, you might as well just reach your hand up and flush the toilet yourself. You are about to go spiraling down. Because our business is all about recruiting selective masses. That don't mean recruiting just any old thing that'll fog a mirror and'll show up. I mean, you know, that ain't what I'm talking about. But understand, if you want to be big, you got to think big. Big numbers equals big results. Big recruiting equals big growth. And so I would just say to all of you that are leaders on this call to just step back and think about what you're talking about, and what are you focused on, and what are you recognizing. See, I promise you, you come to one of our meetings now versus what you would have come to 6 or 7 years ago, what John's recognizing is recruiting. What John's talking about is recruiting. Because you got, I mean, understand, and this is something where I really do believe, you know, there are things where I look at our business and say we got challenges and stuff and everything, but if I recruit 100 people into Primerica, 25 of them are going to ultimately pass their insurance test and get licensed. Okay? So I got to recruit 100 to get 25. Okay? I guarantee, and then out of those 25, here's the unchangeable things. 25 of them will go through everything it takes to get an insurance license, and then half of them won't ever do anything. I mean, not sell nothing, not talk to anybody. They sat through 2 weekends, 40 hours of training, passed the test, and then half of them won't do anything. And they're in our business, you know, one of the things I got up, the first meeting I did with our senior leadership, and there's some things that don't change in Primerica. 13 to 15% of our licensed sales force will make a sale in a month. And of those people that make a sale, on average, they'll do 2 sales. Okay? That's it. So if we've got 100,000 licensed, 15,000 will do something. They'll do 2 sales. That's 30,000 insurance sales. And those numbers haven't changed since the beginning of time. And so one of the things I got up and said, you know, we went through a period after Art where we could have had a sign out in front of, you know, like they have at the Western Sizzling or something, this employee of the month. We had kind of the CEO of the month club for a period of time. And I said, you know, those were Art's numbers, those were Pete's numbers, those were Ed's numbers, those were Frank's numbers, those were Sam's numbers, those were Joe's numbers. And guess what? I got enough confidence to believe they're going to be John's numbers. If you want to grow, you've got to get bigger. You're not going to get better by being more productive. You're not going to get better by being smarter. We had a sales trainer, and I'll kind of close with this in a couple of thoughts, but we had a sales trainer, you know, that, you know, we have, when you're CEO of something like Primerica or Prepaid, I'm sure Harlan has the same thing, you know, when they know you can put thousands of people in a room, okay, they know you can do a convention and bring in 20, 30, 40, 50,000 families. They know you put a lot of people in the room. Every bozo with a book show up and try to explain to you how they can fix everything in your business, okay? I've had them all. I mean, you know, John, this guy, I mean, I get a mail out from John Maxwell every hour and Tom Hopkins, and I mean, all of them, I mean, I promise you, you give them 15 minutes in front of your team, we're going to double everything you do, and what it's going to double, the only thing it's going to double is the sales of their Tate's books and all that kind of stuff. It ain't got nothing to do with doubling your business. So, number one, I'd always be real careful if I was you who I let get in front of my people, because one of the things I most believe is that it's one of my jobs to protect our people's pocketbook. I always say, look, when you come to Primerica, we ain't trying to bring you in and get a vacuum cleaner in your pocketbook and suck every dollar you got out of it and leave you broke and pissed off, okay? The goal is for you to go grow and build a business and do something. So, anyway, those guys, they will all sit down. I have one of them who will shall go nameless, but is very well known, has written the book, How to Master, all these kind of things, and sat down with me and said, John, look, you know, 15% of your sales force does something. They do 2 sales. What if, John, just think with me here. We could get that 15 to 25%. And we could get that from 2 up to 3. Let me just show you what that'll do for you. And he went through this math and all this kind of crap. And at the end of it, I said, look, if you can do that, what they ought to do instead of us hiring you to come to a meeting is they ought to fire me, fire every stinking body up here, take all the money from that, and just pay you. Okay? Because the truth is, you can't do that. People are people. The numbers are the numbers are the numbers. And all you're going to do is if you spend all your time trying to change people is make them mad and frustrate yourself. You got to understand that this is a business which is about more people. We had signs made one time. You know, when Clinton ran for president, he had those signs that said it's the economy, stupid, so that, you know, anytime they got off message, it was the economy. We had signs made that said more people, stupid, not more stupid people, okay? More people, stupid. And it is, you got to step back and in your mind, as a leader, and understand, I wish I was as, I mean, I get off track, I get goofed up, I get off focus. One of the things I'll do every so often is I'll sit down and do an inventory of my calendar. And I'll sit down with my executive assistant, Dana, and I'll start looking. And I say, look at all these stinking meetings I'm in, and not a one of them's got anything to do with growing the business. I mean, it's easy. I mean, sometimes the further up you go, the more other people rule your calendar than you rule it. And it's easy to just wind up sitting in this meeting, sitting in that meeting, going to this thing, all of which you think you're being productive, but at the end of the day, I ask myself a lot of times during a week, is what I'm focused on going to grow recruiting? And if the answer to that is no, I better step back and focus on some different things. The leader, at the end of the day, has to create the environment and set the pace. You've got to create a winning environment. You've got to create an environment of optimism and hope and belief. And then you got to set the pace. And the biggest pace you better set is on recruiting. I honestly believe you guys have got an unbelievable opportunity. And in the world of opportunity and stuff, and I really do believe this, I see so many companies that, I mean, you know, what they sell is a pile of crap, and they really don't sell nothing. Their business ain't nothing. I mean, you know, I've talked to Harlan. I mean, a lot of these companies that are in multi-level marketing, quite honestly, I don't even use the term with our sales force, multi-level marketing. I don't like to talk about it that way because I think when people hear the word multi-level marketing, they think I've got a garage full of pills that I could never sell. I mean, you know, buy a lot and let it rot. I mean, you know, and that's what people think of. I think, so I don't even like, because most of those companies, and they recruit, by the way, they recruit thousands of people a week, okay, with nothing, okay, with fish oil pills that'll make you, you know, supposedly the pounds melt away or something. And here you are with a product that works, with a time-tested formula. I mean, with something that people need, okay, with cutting-edge stuff. I mean, you ought to be recruiting thousands more people than where you are right now. And so I hope this helped you, but I just think as a leader, you got to step back and say, the team ain't going to go no faster than I go. The team's not going to move any quicker than I go. And so what kind of pace am I setting? What kind of personal activity? When my team looks at me, do they see somebody that's in it, after it, and on it? Okay, because I believe as a leader, when you choose to lead, you've got a responsibility to lead. You've got a responsibility to move. Leadership means motion. It means to lead, you have to be going somewhere. Okay? And I think as a leader, you got to decide what you want out of this opportunity. See, the only thing that separates, I believe, the greats from the almost greats, okay, is how they think and what they want out of your opportunity. I mean, how they think. Is their thinking big? Are they thinking the right thoughts? See, you know, I believe with everything in me, whatever your current most dominant thought is, that is surely what you're becoming. So what are you thinking about? Not what do you say you're thinking about, but what are you really thinking about? Where are you moving the team to? So Harlan, look, I think you guys have an awesome business. One thing I absolutely know is y'all got awesome leadership. You've got, you know, people. I mean, one of the things I judge whether I want to be around people on is one of my lessons in life or whatever is I don't like to be around people I don't like, okay? And one of the lessons I've learned is I ain't going to be around people I don't like. I mean, if I got somebody I really don't like reporting to me, I need to get them somewhere else because, in truth, I ain't going to spend time around people that I don't like, A, and B, that I don't trust. And one of the things I know that y'all have got is leadership that has the right heart and cares about you immensely and wants your team to move and grow. I, uh, you know, I've met a lot of people in my life, and Harland is on the short list of people that I look at and say, that's somebody I really admire, that's somebody I look up to, and know has the heart of a leader, not the brains of a leader. I mean, and Harland has brains. I ain't saying Harland ain't smart, but I'm saying Harland has the heart of a leader. He wants prepaid legal and what you do to be an unlimited opportunity for thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And sometimes in life, you take for granted that people are always going to be like that and that there's always going to be a person like that there. It's easy in life to take time for granted. And all of a sudden, one of these days, to look back and say, man, I missed the window of opportunity. I didn't go get it done. I didn't go win. I mean, when Art Williams was here, everybody thought Art Williams would be here forever. One day, Art Williams won. Hey, you know, right now everybody thinks John Addis will be here forever. I hope I'm around a long time, but you never know what tomorrow brings in life. You got to, as a leader, man, you got to be somebody that sees a moment and doesn't just see it, but you seize it. You go out and do something about it and make things happen. So, Harlan, I apologize for going so long, but I hope all that helped you all a lot. And, again, I look forward to seeing you all at events and stuff, you know, in the future and everything, because I really do have a special place in my heart for all y'all.